To the press corps, the media that's there, I apologize having you come out on a Sunday. But this was urgent, and I really needed to talk to the people of Ohio and the people of the state and people of the whole country. I've asked Dr. Acton to stay at what she was doing. She and General Harris and their respective teams have been working very, very hard in regard to our hospital build out. General Harris has people in the 8 different sections of the state today working. Dr. Acton has been spending all her time on this, so I didn't want to interrupt her from what she's doing. And I know for everyone out there, that will be a disappointment that you have to put up with John and myself today. Our sign language interpreters can be viewed again, the same place they were yesterday, at our Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities Facebook. That's Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities Facebook page. Now let me talk about the urgency. And in describing that, let me start with what a huge problem we have as we look at the surge coming at us. We do not have enough N95 masks. These are masks that are usually round. They're fitted to the face. All air that goes in and comes out goes directly through that part of the mask so that you don't breathe in germs, don't breathe in the virus, nor do you breathe them out. So it is the most secure mask that is made. And I think you can see why these masks are so very, very important. They're important for our medical personnel in our hospitals. They're important for our first responders. They're important for people who work in nursing homes. Well, certainly when someone is suspected of maybe having COVID-19, all of these people who are really at the front line, who are there to protect us, who charge towards danger when the rest of us can pull back, they need this help. And what I'm hearing as I talk to people around the state, anecdotally, and what we also know by the data that we have, we do not have enough of these. We are having people, medical field, who are wearing them much, much longer than they normally would. Normally, when they go in to see a patient, they would wear that, then they would throw that mask away. They're having to wear them a lot longer. And we have some people who need them that don't have them today. So we are working very, very hard. Matt Damschroeder is heading this up for us. He's got a great team. They're trying to source these masks from wherever they can get them. This is a problem that is not unique to Ohio. As you'll see by the nightly news, the morning news, this is a problem throughout the country. But we're doing everything we can to get more of these masks in to Ohio for all the folks that really need them. We're working every single day on that. But we also have something else going on that will help us and that we've been waiting for. And that is the amazing work that has been done by Battelle Lab. Battelle Lab is telling us help is on the way. Innovation is really in Ohio's DNA. We need the help of Ohio scientists, our engineers, our researchers now more than ever. And we have, as I said, an amazing lab right here in Central Ohio, the Battelle Lab. Battelle opened its doors in 1929 in Columbus with a mission to help solve the world's most pressing issues using groundbreaking science and technology. Battelle is the largest private nonprofit research and development organization in the world. Battelle's historical inventions have included, among many things, contributions to the Xerox copy machine, cruise control, the compact disc, barcodes, and on and on. Battelle's amazing labs do phenomenal work every single day. They now have developed a machines with the capability to sterilize 80,000 used masks per day. We have two of these machines here in Ohio ready to go. There's another one now that's being assembled in New York. They have another one on the way to New York. One is ready to be sent to Seattle, and one is ready to go to the Washington, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. And they have the ability in the next few weeks to make more and send them out to different parts of the country. So what I'm talking about today, the urgency of getting these online so they can start towards that 80,000 masks per day goal, is not just for Ohioans. It is for people throughout the country. They're ready to go forward. They're ready to move. But we've been waiting for FDA approval. This is something that the Lieutenant Governor has worked directly on and has worked extensively on. So obviously has Battelle. We have been waiting and waiting and waiting. Last night, actually this morning, a little after 1 a.m., we got what we thought was good news. And the good news was that they'd approved it and we could start moving forward. And so when I got up, I saw that. But then I had a conversation not long after that with Lou Von Thayer, who heads up Battelle. And he told me about 8 o'clock this morning that it wasn't clear. We weren't ready to go. We were not in a situation where we could go to the 80,000. Needless to say, I was quite angry. I picked up the phone. I called President Trump. The president called me back. We had a great conversation. He told me that he would do everything he could to make sure that this got done today. He understood, because I told him, the gravity of this for Ohio, but not just for Ohio, but for other states, other locations. He told me that he would take action, for which I'm very grateful. And as some of you may have seen, he also tweeted a couple times. I've also been in contact with our two senators, Senator Portman and Senator Brown. I appreciate their help. I've also been in contact with Congressman Stivers and Balderson, and I appreciate very, very much their help. This is not going to solve, when we get it, it's not going to solve every single problem. We know that. It's not going to stop the surge coming at us. But it is going to help. And has the ability to help here in Ohio, and has the ability to help across this country. And that's why I really wanted to hold this press conference today, to make the appeal directly to the FDA, but also to express to other governors, to others in other states, that this is help on the way if we can just get it clear. Now, Lieutenant Governor has been back and forth after this, after these conversations, has been back and forth now with the FDA. I know that Battelle has been doing the same thing. And several minutes ago, I talked directly to the FDA commissioner, Commissioner Hahn. He was headed into the Situation Room. He had called me, and I appreciate the call. And he said that this was going to be cleared up today, that he thought that we would be able to have what we wanted. And what we want is help for our first responders. What we want is help for our medical personnel who desperately need this. So we're not there yet. We've not gotten the approval. But I am grateful for the call, and I'm hopeful. Again, we are holding this press conference today to get everyone's attention. We had tried and going back and forth for days. I got sick of waiting, frankly. We owe this to Ohioans. We owe this to people across this country. Let me now ask Lou, see if Lou is up on the screen yet. We're following our distancing. Lou, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Governor.
You want to tell us a little bit about the technology and the science behind this, because that's your area and it's certainly not mine.
Sure. And first, sir, I'd like to thank you and Lieutenant Governor, our representatives and others have helped us move to the top of the FDA's file. You know, they're inundated with a lot of new solutions, and we felt this was very good help. And I think our practical schools today very much appreciate this. So the process that we developed, we actually proved in.
Lou, we're kind of losing some of your comments. I don't know whether that's on which end, but I don't know where your mic is or whether that will help. Eric, is there any way to? You think it'll come back in? Okay. Sure. John, you want to add anything?
Sure. Waiting for the technology. Governor covered this very well. The bottom line is that we want everybody to know we've been pushing this for a week. We've been waiting patiently. We wanted to make sure that the FDA could give the validation of the science that what Battelle was working on. We were told on Wednesday that they would have a solution by the end of the week. I reminded them that the end of the week was Saturday and that we expected something by then. When we got the call, when I actually got the call 11:19 last night or 1:19 in the morning, I was thrilled. I thought we were on the way to getting this done, but then the devil was in the details. It was only allowed to occur on a limited basis. That's just not good enough, as the governor articulated. And I want everybody to know who's on the front lines of this. Your governor, your lieutenant governor, and the entire team is fighting for those PPEs for you, because we know that without them, that your job is made unnecessarily more dangerous. And so that's why this is all happening. Plus, they need to get out to the nursing homes and understand, folks, that even when we get through this, masks are still going to be necessary as part of what we do to keep a safe environment, particularly for the people who are most vulnerable. And so that's what we're pressing for. The conversations that Battelle and I have had with the FDA, and then the conversations that the governor had just a few moments ago, give us optimism. But this needs to be approved today. We can't tiptoe toward the solution. We have to run at full speed. FDA approval gives us the ability to run at full speed at decontaminating the masks and be able to redeploy them into healthcare settings so that we can protect the people on the front lines. And I've known the governor for a long time. I don't know that I ever saw him more frustrated than he was this morning with this. And he is absolutely determined that this will happen today. And we will not let up until it gets done.
Let me, Lou's going to come back up in a moment, but let me just give the cases and numbers update for today, Sunday. And I would also tell everyone who's watching, detailed numbers are available on the dashboard at coronavirus.ohio.gov. That's coronavirus, one word, .ohio.gov. We now have 1,653 confirmed cases. We have 29 deaths, 403 hospitalizations, number of ICU admissions, 139. Counties with cases, 66. The age range is 1 to 98. Median age is 52 years. Total tested, 24,376 as of today. So, Lou, let's try you again. Again, the CEO of Battelle, we appreciate what you all are doing, and we're anxious for you to start cranking out the sterilization of these masks. And I believe you might indicate also how many times that you can you can do this per mask. I think that's an interesting fact.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me better?
I can hear you.
Okay. So first off, Governor, I don't know how much you heard before, but let me thank you and Lieutenant Governor for your tireless efforts to help us get these things through the FDA. The FDA is inundated with many new ideas coming in, and to get this on top of the pile has been very helpful, and I'm optimistic we'll get through those approvals very soon, hopefully today. So we actually developed a technology at Patel. We did this a couple years ago with the FDA that showed that we could take N95 respirators and we could clean them with a concentrated hydrogen peroxide vapor for a period of several hours and basically decontaminate them for lots of things, including bugs that are worse than COVID-19. We've since tested that here. We've proven it. And we started about a month ago to build systems up, and we've now built a system that can scale and do tens of thousands a day, as you've spoken of. Each mask can be cleaned and reused up to 20 times. And the way this process will work is we're coordinating with local hospitals, starting here in Central Ohio, then we want to expand out into those places that you mentioned earlier. So the hospitals will collect the masks, they get wrapped in plastic. Then as they get ready to ship, they put them in a second plastic bag. That bag is wiped down with alcohol to ensure the outside of it's not contaminated. It's couriered to our facility. And then Battelle experts, scientists, and technicians who are trained in BSL operations in full protective gear will treat each mask as if it's contaminated, load those masks into these 8x8x20 standard storage containers, like containers you see trucks pulling around on the highway, with liners and sensors, and we will then put those masks under pressure for a couple hours with the hydrogen peroxide. We'll then let them cool off basically for about another 5 or 6 hours to get the parts per million less than one of hydrogen peroxide before they're brought back out. We will then repackage and send the same masks back to the same hospitals. And we believe this process, we can do 80,000 and more here locally, and we can add systems as we need to. And we are working parts and supply chains to be able to expand and put more systems out across the country.
Well, that's exciting. You want to go through a little bit kind of what the future might look like. You've got some already, I think, in place. You tell me you had one in place, maybe?
That's right. We have one in New York State on Long Island that was actually built over the weekend, is ready to operate once we get the EUA approval. We have another one en route for New York City and a place we've negotiated with health professionals there to set up. We have one en route to Seattle. We would like to add, and we expect to go to Chicago, Washington, D.C. next. We'll have enough materials to do 3 to 4 more systems over the next week. And we're trying to work with federal and local health officials to find the best spots to put those where the need is the highest. The supply chain then will become our limiting factor, and we're trying to speed that up. We'll be able to build about 2 systems a week after that, and we're looking for some alternate pumps and things that we might be able to use and get FDA approval that could modify the system slightly to expand faster.
That's great, Lou. If you could hang there with us, we're going to take some questions, and if anyone has a question for Lou, now would be an appropriate time to do it. Mr. Oddy?
Jim Oddy from WHIO-TV at Dayton. Thank you, Governor. When perhaps will we see this technology be used in Ohio, and when would you expect to get a decision? You say today. You mean this evening, tonight, tomorrow morning? But when would we see this?
Let me start on that. I expected a decision before today, but I'm kind of an impatient guy. But lives are literally at stake, and so this is why we held this press conference. We want everyone in the country to understand the importance of this. That's why I called the president. I don't call the president very often, but this was important to do. Now the commissioner, as I said, called me. And I talked with him a couple minutes before, literally before walking in here, and he assured me that this would be done today. So it's not done yet, but I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic, and waiting. Lou, why don't you take the second part of that, or the first part of that, in regard to when will this ready to go? Let's say you get the approval today. What does this mean to the ability of us here in Ohio to reuse these?
Yes, sir. So we would start tomorrow in Ohio. We've already tested thousands of masks. Ohio Health has been our partner in this, helping us think through the logistics change and how the hospitals would collect the mask and get them back and forth. So we've already done a few thousand of these in a test case, and we're now ready to turn the operation on. So we have one system with four containers fully up and operational today in Ohio, and I suspect we will start to take inventory tomorrow and be sending masks back on Tuesday of this week. The EUA, the FDA approved last night, would allow us to do 10,000 masks a day. We expect to hit that on Tuesday. We're hopeful with the approvals that we'll get today, we'll be able to go well beyond that very quickly.
And you have the capacity on a good day, I guess, to hit 80,000, I think you told me.
That is correct.
Just as a follow-up, does this compromise the integrity of each of those at all?
So up to 20 times the integrity of the mask is maintained. After that, you will see degradation in the mask. So we actually keep a count to how many times the masks go through this process. So that any mask is damaged, any mask that is soiled or has other items on it, or any mask that hits that 20th recycle will be thrown away.
Hi, this is Shane Stegmiller with Hanna News Service. So are both of the systems in Ohio, they're deployed here at Battelle in Columbus, correct?
That's correct. They're actually at our West Jefferson facility, about 20 miles west of our headquarters.
And are you taking masks from all over the state once you get the approval to go, or are you just kind of focusing on Central Ohio, or how is that working?
No, we plan to take from all over the state. We've been coordinating through the Hospital Association with each of the systems, and we'll stand ready to help everyone in the state.
And how long does this process take in terms of hospital bagging all of them up, putting them in the shipment, sending them to you, getting them sanitized and sent back to the hospital? How is it like a couple of days, or what's the timeline on that?
So we believe same day turn. Now, I don't know what happens on the logistics of getting it to and from the hospital. It depends on how far away those are. But we'll be turning at 80,000 masks a day, and we should be able to keep up with that demand for some time here in Ohio and get literally 24-hour turn out of our plant plus the logistics of getting them back and forth.
Now, do you have a specialized courier that you're using that you send directly to the hospital, or the hospital sends you, or are you sending them through the mail? How do they get to you?
Yeah. So right now the hospitals are organizing and we're working those couriers. We're also talking to two of the bigger providers, Cardinal and Steris, potentially to have them help in some cities with the logistics activities.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Andrew Tobias with Cleveland.com. Did the FDA in any way raise concerns that a larger scale-up of this would reduce the efficacy or safety of this process, or otherwise explain why they chose a limited approval?
I think there's just been a lot of moving parts at once, and to get the understanding, what really matters is that you get the right concentration of pressure of hydrogen peroxide to each of the masks. As long as that happens, it doesn't matter how many are in a container, as long as there's room around them to absorb the hydrogen peroxide. I think helping them understand that and being able to share some of our data around those items is what's helping us get through some of the misunderstandings early on.
And these are concerns the FDA raised then?
So we've been back and forth in a dialogue. I think they're very comfortable with the technology, and it's the logistics and just making sure they understand exactly how we're going to use the system is the parts that we're working through the final details on.
Thank you. And a follow-up for the governor. There have been some reports where some governors have maybe been concerned about criticizing the president's response and possibly harming their state's response and their ability to get supplies and things like that. Do you feel comfortable that you can raise these concerns as needed? And did you consider this when you made this decision today?
And I didn't hear the last part. Did I do what?
If you considered, you know, the effects of maybe angering the federal government by choosing to criticize them in the way that you did, and going public, basically.
Look, I called the president. I had no concerns about that. I called the president this morning, called the White House operator. The president called me back. He said, what do you need? What's going on? I explained to him. We had a good conversation. He got it. He understood it. He understands the importance of protecting our first responders, our hospital personnel. He understands that we don't have enough. And no, he was great. He said, "Look, I'm I'm moving. He said, I'll get this done.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Jeff Reddick from ABC 6 News here in Columbus. Yesterday, Governor, you spoke quite a bit about asking people in the state or businesses in the state to donate a lot of items besides masks, PPE, that are needed right now. Is there a process by which Battelle could begin to sterilize other types of PPE? And then to follow up, Governor, would you also state whether or not that outreach helped yesterday, if you know?
Well, my understanding, and Lou, I guess so make sure I get this right. Why don't you just take the question on? Question is whether or not we're limited to the N95s. And my understanding is you are at this point. Is that?
That's right. So we believe we will be able to use the same technology to decontaminate other items, but we're still in R&D for that. We need to prove that in. This particular approval we've requested for the FDA is actually just for the N95 mask. We plan to go back with other items as we finish the R&D and prove that we can safely decontaminate those things as well, including pieces of respirators, ventilators, reusable parts that are typically thrown away that we expect to come into shortage.
Any estimate how far off that could be?
I don't have a good answer for that right now. I do know that our team's on a war footing. We've been working around the clock for the last month. So I'm very proud of the women and men at Battelle, and they've been working very hard to try to do the best they can to help our state and our country.
And then again, Governor, has the outreach that you made yesterday, do you know if there's been any immediate impact as far as donations of those items?
I have not checked with my team. I don't know that. I got some indication last night that we had some, but I don't have any numbers at all for you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Eric Halpern with NBC4. Yesterday, both from Battelle and the governor, it seemed pretty clear the expectation here was that these can and will clean up to 80,000 masks a day. Yet the FDA, in a statement they sent me this morning, they seemed to just get that understanding today that the 80,000. So was there some miscommunication, or what did you hear from the FDA as to why they're only allowing this 10,000 to start when it seemed pretty clear from the conversations yesterday we could do 80,000?
Well, I'm not going to get into everything back and forth. John Houston, Lieutenant Governor, was involved in some of those discussions. I know that Lou was as well. Let me just say that it's going to get resolved. So I don't know if you want to add anything, John or Lou.
I can just add this, that we had daily conversations, daily outreaches through that process. From our side, we thought it was abundantly clear. But frankly, we are where we are at today. This needs to get approved today. And we've had the reassurances that will. We just need to make sure that it happens. The FDA has been communicative with me. I've talked with them on a daily basis. But we are where we are. We have to get this approved today. They are very clear. The president, the FDA commissioner, has given personal reassurances to the governor on this. It just needs to happen. And Lou, do you have anything to add to that?
I think that's well said.
Thank you.
And we will notify everyone when that happens.
Hi, Governor. This is Jake Zuckerman from the Ohio Capital Journal. Previously, Dr. Acton has told us how the CDC sent Ohio a faulty test kit in February, which really put us behind the ball in testing. We don't have enough PPE. The national stockpile hasn't cut it. You called this FDA decision reckless, and it took a phone call with the president to get maybe results today. Do you think the federal government is just behind the ball in this pandemic?
Look, when I talked to the president, he was great about it. He says, we got to fix it. He did what he needed to do. And I believe we're moving forward. I think that when we come out of this, and we will come out of it, and we look at the lessons learned, one of the lessons that we are learning as a country, as a people, is that public health, we have to invest more in public health. This is not a Democrat problem. It's not a Republican problem. It's not to blame one president or another president. This has been going on for a long time in this country, that we do not focus enough on public health. And so that's a lesson I think that we will all take away from this. The second lesson is we never want to be in a position where we can't buy very important medical equipment, medical things in this country. We got to be able to source this stuff in this country. So we're not, we have found some things that we're looking for. Well, they come out of Italy. Well, we can't get any of them. Well, they came out of China. Well, for a while, we couldn't get any of those. So those are just two big lessons. And I kind of like to look at it from the big point of view. These are lessons that we all have learned. I have learned. Everyone has learned, I think. We got to focus on public health, and we got to make sure that we make in this country the essential things that we need to keep us safe.
To follow, why do you think it takes a public confrontation with the president's FDA and a phone call with the president to get these kind of changes made?
Look, I'm not going to go into that. I don't know everything that's going on. Bureaucracies sometimes move slow, and that's not just true in Washington. It's also true sometimes in Columbus, and so. Quite candidly, I have received calls, maybe not as urgent, from people. And I've had to go into our bureaucracy and try to get it done. I sort of felt the president felt the way I feel sometimes. And that is, I got to go do it. This is not supposed to be happening this way. And that just happens. As much as you try for it not to happen. And that's the attitude, sort of the impression I got in regard to what the president's reaction was. He said, look, let's go fix it. And that was the right attitude.
Thank you. I want to add just something to that. Look, this is about escalating the concern to make sure that the people who are down in the bureaucracy are really hearing the importance of it. One of the things we tried to emphasize all week is that we have people who don't have access to these materials and they need them. And if you're not going to give us this solution, you need to give us something else. And really what the governor did is what anybody in a position of leadership should do. If they're not solving the problem through the regular process, then you have to bring energy and urgency to that process to make sure that's happened. And that's what today is all about. That's what the governor started to do this morning. That's why we're here today, is to bring that sense of urgency to the bureaucracy so that they know we've got to have this, because people on the ground depend on it. And that's what your leaders are supposed to do.
Hi, Marty Schladen, Columbus Dispatch. Governor, first of all, do you think that what's happening today illustrates that state leaders such as yourself are being left to manage the response to this crisis?
No. Look, in fact, just the opposite. Every time I've called the president, every time I've called the vice president, every time I've called the White House and had a specific ask, they've gotten on it. There's a lot of moving parts. FDA does what it does. They're in defense of them. They're trying to make sure things are safe. I get that. But sometimes you just have to rattle it. And that's true with the bureaucracy anywhere. It's the truth of the bureaucracy in Columbus, in Ohio. It's the same. Sometimes you just have to say, look, this is really important. And the reason it's important is we have to protect the people who are on the front line. We don't have enough of these. We do not have enough of these masks. And we're frantically trying to get enough of these masks. And we have a solution, at least for part of the problem, in that we can clean 80,000 of these every single day. Free us. Let us go do it. That's the message. And sometimes you just have to say it that way to get things moving.
The other thing I wanted to ask about was I'm getting regular messages from people with relatives in the prisons and in the jails. Is anything under consideration right now to get some of those people out of those institutions?
Look, the most important thing that we can do is to keep everyone in our prison safe. We know that there's potential problems anytime you have that large number of people gathered together. But Our director has worked very, very hard with her team to do everything that she can to keep the virus out of the prisons. So I don't think we should think it's an automatic solution to set a number of people who have been convicted, who have been sentenced, set them loose, and assume that they're going to be able to stay free of the virus. So, you know, I'm not sure that when you look at that and say, okay, we'll let some people loose, what makes us think that they're going to be in any better position outside than inside? And they have a sentence to serve. So our focus has been on protecting the people who work in the prison and the people that who are the prisoners. That's our obligation. And I can tell you, after having worked with DRC for a number of years, I did this when I was lieutenant governor, they focus every single day on the safety of their prisoners and the safety of their personnel. And they do a very, very good job. The director has come up with a way to make sure that when someone goes into receiving, they go from the jail into receiving, that they are not put out into the general population until it is figured out that they do not have COVID-19. So they are in that reception area, and she's got it figured out how it works in there to keep people in smaller groups. They're there for, I believe she told me, 5 weeks, and to make sure that they're not taking something into the prison. They've taken other efforts. They've cut out visiting, which is tough. That's tough for everybody. It's tough for the families. It's tough. But again, it's the same thing we've done with nursing homes. It keeps people safer during this time of great, great danger. So we're working every day, and we're going to continue to do that to keep everyone safe.
Thank you, Governor.
Hello, Governor. Ryan Schmelz with Spectrum News. Would you like to see any reforms done at the FDA to help this approval process move quicker or smoother in the future?
I don't pretend to be an FDA expert. You know, I've expressed when I was a United States Senator some frustration at the slow approval rate of the FDA. You know, look, we want them. Their job is to keep us safe. But also, you know, delays that are just delays don't make any sense. So I'm not gonna do a dissertation today on the FDA. I'm focused on Ohio. I'm focused on this was a problem. We think maybe we've got this fixed now. We're gonna find out later today. We do what we have to do to protect Ohioans.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Could I add something to that? Is that as we've talked with the FDA this week, you know, their focus is on safety. That's what they're doing. People are coming to them with innovations. They're focused on safety. Our focus, though, was on the urgency of what the problem is on the ground, that people don't have these. And so that's the natural tension that builds between the two. We're pushing for speed. They're pushing for safety. And in the end, you know, we're going to get there today. But this was necessary to force that change to occur.
What happened today, one of the things that has happened today, going back and forth, is we've compressed into a short period of time what sometimes just takes days. And we've said, okay, you got questions? Ask the questions. Patel will give you the answers. Do it. Let's just do it. Get it done. And so, you know, is the compression of those questions and answers into a very short time frame that we hope will allow us to get the approval before midnight tonight. And so Lou and his team, who have done a great job, can, you know, be freed and go help us save people.
Thank you.
This is Jackie Borchert from the Cincinnati Enquirer. A few days ago, Governor, you shared a chart that showed we need 11.7 million estimated of these respirators. So I'm wondering if Lou could maybe add some context to what kind of impact these units, specifically in Ohio, would have on our needs for these masks.
Sure. So I would add, I think we're going to continue to see more supply of new masks coming on. We'll see more people building out. And then again, we can handle, we believe, 80,000 a day with what we've currently built. And we can build out more capacity here if there's more need. So we can actually scale that. As we're putting systems around the country, we can keep another system here. So we believe we can help make this not be an issue over the next days and weeks as we catch up from the logistics standpoint for the state of Ohio. And that's why we're so intent on getting this solution in place as fast as possible.
And we're also, of course, working every single day to find more masks in the market, to find more respirators and all the things that we have talked about. We have a team working on that every day. I made an appeal yesterday. So, you know, we're doing everything we can. We're calling everybody in, bring this stuff in, because we know when this surge hits, we're going to need them. We're going to need it all. And, it, you know, the urgency of today is simply because we know we have today people in the front line who don't have the masks that they need. We know there are people in the front line today in Ohio who are using their masks much longer than they normally would, and much longer than medical science would indicate that they probably should, but they're doing it because they don't have any choice. We're trying to free Battelle up so they can help these people who are on the front line every single day, God bless them, and making a difference for us, and who we're going to depend on in the weeks ahead to take care of anybody who is out there who comes down with COVID-19.
And just to follow up, Governor, can you explain a little bit where we are in terms of ramping up testing and availability of tests across the state?
No, I can't. Dr. Acton can do that tomorrow.
All right, thanks.
Hi, Governor and Lieutenant Governor. It's Karen Kassler from Ohio Public Radio and Television, State House News Bureau. I know you said this is a compressed timeline, but I'm wondering why the urgency is today and not perhaps a couple of days earlier in the week. And also, if you don't get the answer that you're looking for today, might you go ahead and do this anyway?
Well, we're not going to get there. We're not going to answer hypothetical. We're not going to go there. I've been assured by the president, I've been assured by the commissioner that this will, in fact, happen today. Look, when you're dealing with people and they tell you it's coming and it's going to be any day, and you generally believe them. But at some point, when you get to the point where, okay, it's been approved, and you say, oh, that's great, and then when the sun comes up, you basically look down and find, well, they've only approved a fraction of what we know we can do. That's it. It's time to move. It's time to go. I mean, you want to deal with people in good faith. You understand, as John said, Lieutenant Governor said, that they have an obligation to keep it safe, but it's time to get on with it. And so kind of compress this into today so the questions go out, the answers come back, and we boom, 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 get this done. And we'll see.
Thank you.
Okay, looks like we are, oh.
Governor, that was the last question.
That was the last question. All right, well, Lou, thank you. Thanks to your team. Tell them all we are very grateful for what they're doing, and we hope when the sun comes up tomorrow, you guys are ready to roll.
Thank you, Governor, and thank you for your support, and you and the Lieutenant Governor and everyone else's tireless efforts. So we're all in this together, and we appreciate your leadership.
Thank you very much. Well, as we all knew that we were not planning this press conference today, but I want to close by sharing a performance that was specifically shared with our office, came in to us by Malone University's Chorale. And here's what they wrote. This is the first performance of the Malone University Virtual Choir under the direction of John C. Peterson, who also serves as director of the All Ohio State Fair Youth Choir. And of course, we've seen him at the fair many times. These students prepare a blessing from the Book of Numbers called "The Lord Bless You and Keep You" by Peter Lutkin. They've taken social distancing and turned it into social distance sing. So I thank Dr. Peterson, Malone University Virtual Choir, and to everyone out there, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And we will end with the Malone Choir. Wow, that was great. Thank them very, very much. We will see you all tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Thank you.